is just there, Pat. There's no other word for it, because he lets them get away with.
I'll be back, Bubba.
He's let them only get away with murder. He has let them, you know.
I really don't think these guys are out there, because it's snowing, it's really cold. If they are out there, they really need something to eat, but he said, gotta give them a little strength to get through this fire. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, boy.
All right. Oh my God, Henrietta's over there. She's actually over there. Oh my God, it's Henrietta and looks like Speedy. Hey, hey, where's everybody else? Henrietta, come on, go with it. Oh, there's Prince. Come on now, this snow out here is crazy. You guys can't be out here. What happens to Dash? Dash be going off and do stuff. So you guys eat something. And then find your little hiding place, because this is going to get treacherous out here, okay? I'll see you later. Probably the reason they were there, they were waiting on the food. Oh, this is going to get crazy! I had to help a guy today. I was on my way to an interview. And he bit the dust, man. He slipped and fell. That was at 9 o'clock this morning. I had to help him up. I couldn't help him up. He was so heavy. Guy had to stop with his car. He stopped his car and got out and helped us. Or helped me. Help him up. Can you imagine expecting 2 feet of snow? Oh my God, 2 feet. What way to make money now? People walking around with their saddles. Pretty cool when you think about it. You get yourself a shovel, and when it's snowing like this, you go from store to store and you say, hey, you need somebody to shovel? $20, $50, whatever. You make good money. I'm too old for that shit. Shovel in front of one damn store and fall out from a heart attack. What you wanna do? Snow's getting already a couple of inches. They say it's gonna snow all the way through tomorrow night. 2 feet. One of the worst storms we've ever seen. Bringing an umbrella, but at wind, boy. That's the umbrella breaker.
School already canceled for more than a million children tomorrow. One of the real fears as we head into this evening, the winds. Up to 75 miles an hour, and the power now a real concern. Meteorologist Rob Marciano in Boston tonight, where authorities are urging everyone to take these blizzard warnings seriously.
Tonight, blizzard warnings posted from New Jersey to Maine. Most of those governors sending dire warnings.
The extreme snowfall, hurricane force winds.
It should not be taken lightly.
Travel ban for the entire state.
Please remain home and remain off the roads.
Thousands of state workers told to stay home. Schools canceled. State officials shutting down roads tonight for everyone except emergency vehicles. Salt trucks along the East Coast out in full force. The storm expected to dump up to 30 inches in some areas, with winds gusting to 75 miles per hour at this New Jersey command center.
80 eastbound, 32.5, silver Toyota stuck.
3,700 trucks ready to roll.
We are the first responders. If we don't have the roadway systems cleared, then fire trucks, police trucks, ambulances cannot get through.
That sentiment echoed on the ground here in Boston, where I rode along with plow truck driver Danny Lee.
So the biggest problem you have on a night light tonight is what?
We'll be covering up.
Traffic. Cars on the road when they shouldn't be.
Salt helps too. Boston has 35,000 tons of it shipped in by the container full.
Just how ready is Boston for this one?
Boston is prepared.
The coast bracing for winds of hurricane.
Welcome, everybody. This is CD29. My name is JDR. You listen to me being out there in the, excuse me for a moment. I got the metronome on again. It's just driving me bananas. But what was up was, I went out before the big storm came just to get myself a little something with the Burger King and, went to get a little something to drink. And it was cold. It was really cold. I was surprised that the cats were out. They were out looking for some food, and then they go to their little hiding place. They were expecting a really big storm, but it veered off by 50 miles, and that's why New York City itself didn't get hit as hard, although there were 7 inches in Central Park. And here where I'm at in Jamaica, Queens, we got 10 inches. So, yeah, it was pretty deep. And Long Island, New Jersey, all the way up to New England, they were buried in it. So sit back and relax.
Clear path.
Speaker, what do you have to say about the charges?
Speaker, do you have any... When it aired, I will be vindicated.
Are you going to be vindicated?
Speaker, no resignation.
No.
Guys, you got to back up.
Make a hole.
Where's the car?
What's the... Please, guys.
Thank you.
Wait, hold on, let me move.
What superheroes usually make, superhero movies make. I'm not surprised. Clint Eastwood's a great filmmaker. But somehow their Twitter war broke out, and now we have to take sides whether the American sniper is a real hero or not. Now, I said last week we had Catherine Bigelow on, who had made Hurt Locker. And I said it kind of goes over a lot of the same territory. Hurt Locker made $17 million because it was a little ambiguous and thoughtful. And this one is just American hero. He's a psychopath patriot, and we love him. You know, I read some of the quotes from the real Chris Kyle. He said, "I hate the damn savages," talking about the Iraqis, "and I've been fighting, and I always will. I love killing bad guys, Even with the pain, I loved what I was doing. Maybe war isn't really fun, but I certainly was enjoying it. I don't know. Eisenhower once said, "I hate war as only a soldier who has lived it can." I just don't see this guy in the same league as Eisenhower. I'm sorry. And if you're a Christian, I know this is a Christian country. I hate the damn savages. I don't give a fuck what happens. That doesn't seem like a Christian thing to say.
You know, it's a very interesting point. There's a lot of anger in this country, and the people who go see this movie are people who are very angry. And this guy basically says, "I'm going to fight on your side," and they bite for it. I think there's some. I bet you, if you looked at a cross section of the Tea Party and people who go to see this movie, there's a lot of intersection.
But I also think there's always been sort of a search for the totemic war hero. We saw that with Pat Tillman in a certain respect. We saw that with Jessica Lynch. We saw that in some ways with David Petraeus as well. And when you look beneath the surface of some of those narratives, it's obviously more complicated than that. I think part of it also we were talking before, he saw the movie The Interview. And there was, at some point, Americans wanted to do some sort of patriotic act, right? And I think in some ways, people who wanted who went to go see this movie, it was sort of a patriotic act, and that people wanted to feel good about this war. If you look at the polls, most Americans think this war wasn't worth fighting. It's something like 70%, and this movie comes at a time.
And that's the thing. We're in a country.
Did you watch the movie?
Yes, I did.
So I went to go see it last night because I'd heard about it. I wanted to try to know what I was talking about. I can't believe you came away with that impression of the film. What I saw was a movie that treats what veterans and soldiers go through in a way that was subtle. It was not just about war, it was about PTSD, it was about what the wives of soldiers go through. And by the way, the savages he's talking about, okay, aren't ordinary Iraqis. The savages are Al-Qaeda killers who put drills into children to enforce
orders. You know what, when he was sitting up there and looking 200 yards away, he didn't know that's who he was shooting. In the first scene, he's about to shoot a kid.
Yeah, but I would also say you can't sum up a man by one quote taken out of context. You don't know how he said that. And I think if you're fighting a war, I bet you say a lot of fucked up shit in the middle of it.
Well, that was after the war when he wrote a book.
All right, but you've been through a war.
I'm just saying, you know, the idea that Americans cannot see any ambiguity, that somebody has to either be pure hero or pure traitor, is ridiculous.
It's not, that'd be, in fairness, everybody's like that. No, Americans are not. I mean, there's not a lot of subtlety in the lives of ordinary people. It's a struggle.
Kyle, is different than the movie, Chris. You're right. There's more ambiguity in the movie than the book. Let me move on to something real.
Yeah, that's me. Just popped in to say a little something about a couple of the things you just heard as you listened to me in the background. Walking along the streets of Jamaica, Queens, in the snow. You heard a clip there where it was actually nothing but you heard cameras going off and people asking questions. That was Sheldon Silver. As we all know, he's been arrested and will be indicted on corruption charges and most likely may go to jail because, they've been piling up evidence on him for years, and so I don't see a good outcome here. And what you just heard was a portion of Real Time with Bill Maher, and he was talking about the movie American Sniper. And of course, and you know, we live in a great country where everyone can have their opinion, and it's all fine and good. But when I hear Seth Rogen and Michael Moore, you know, use such terminology as killers and psychopath, and even Bill Maher says, you know, he's a lovable psychopath. You know, listen, if you have not donned the uniform of any military organization and you have not been put into that situation, then you should actually leave your opinions to yourself. Okay? Because here's the thing. These people, these brothers and sisters out there putting their lives on the line, coming home maimed, or not coming home at all. They are doing it so you can have the right to form such an opinion. So you can have the right to live in such a free country where you can make millions of dollars a year and live in your plush, cushy home somewhere in the hills of California and sit on your living room and sip your glass of wine and talk crap. Okay? Now listen, everyone is entitled to their opinion. I will be the first one to tell you that, but listen, this, to say that about our brothers and sisters in the military that are protecting you and protecting your right, and to say, well, listen, he was 2 miles away looking through a scope and he was about to shoot a kid. Yeah, in Vietnam, they shot kids. Because they had no other choice but to shoot kids. Because these kids were strapped with bombs. And it's the same thing if you go to Afghanistan or if you go to Iraq or any of these Middle Eastern countries. You do not have any idea what that kid is capable of. Okay? We had a very interesting study. That's me going up the stairs now. We had a very interesting, not study, but discussion in my criminal justice class where my professor said, it's really funny how people can come to assumptions and opinions when they're not in that situation. Case in point, Tamar Rice in Cleveland. It's on video that the cop car pulled up, the cops got out, and they shot him. Took 2 seconds. They did not think about it. They got out the car and they shot the kid. Now, here's my thing with that whole Tamar Rice situation. Those cops should have not been in uniform. They were, one cop had a terrible psychiatric evaluation, and the other cop was also not that great. So they should not have been in uniform because things just happened with these guys. They weren't good. Okay? But on the other hand of that, on the other side of the coin, this cop car pulls up and here's this kid pointing this weapon around. The cops don't have time to think, is it real or not real? They don't have time to think about that. We don't know what happened in Ferguson. There's no film about it. But listen, every cop that leaves their home in the morning is thinking one thing. Let me come home after my shift. And there are certain situations where, listen, You have a split second reaction time. A split second. People say, shoot the gun out of their hand or shoot them in the leg. You're not even taught that way. You're not taught that way. If you go out and buy a gun and you go to a shooting range, they're not going to teach you to shoot the gun out of somebody's hand or to shoot their leg. They're going to teach you to shoot center mass. It's what you are taught. Okay, but now I'm getting a little bit off tema. I think that the men and women of our military should be shown a little bit more respect. Maybe I'm biased because I'm ex-military. It's possible. But before you start using the terminology of killers and psychopath and such things, and you go home to your little cushy million-dollar house, and you worry about terrorists, or you don't worry about terrorists because you know that our military is out there trying to protect you from these terrorists. Excuse me. We're trying to get a jump on these terrorists. Yet, you are going to call them all kinds of names. I just feel that there should be a little thought process before you put your foot in your mouth. Okay? I know the guy has a, you know, he has a show to do, Bill Maher, you know, and, you know, they need to discuss certain things. And, you know, as you heard, you know, there were the one gentleman, I don't know who exactly was on the show. The one gentleman was actually on the side of the military and saw something different in the film than Bill Maher did. Bill Maher is trying to, you know, make the whole thing out into something that it actually wasn't, not in my opinion anyway. And I haven't even seen the film, but I don't need to seem to see the film to know what's going on there. You know, then he kind of puts it in a Catholic connotation. I don't know what he's getting at. You know, just probably trying to provoke an idea that we have psychopaths in our military. They might be psychopaths when they come back, because if you've seen the thing that they've seen, you come back, you don't even know what to do. You don't know how to get along in this society. And although people say thank you for your service, many still don't respect you. As you see when Seth Rogen comes out and says stupid things. Look at that stupid movie he just had. Wasn't it about killing a dictator? And then you got Michael Moore. Why don't he shave and lose weight before he wants, you know, before he makes comments like that? You know? And I'm actually a fan of Bill Maher. But come on, man. Give me a break. Give me a break. Well, anyway, folks, I'm going to leave you for a while and sit back, relax, have more fun.
Some people uncomfortable, okay? People uncomfortable in this building. Very, they're afraid of you. My name is Philip Perea. I'm a promotions producer, and I was fired for dubious reasons from Fox 7 Austin, which is owned and operated by the same people that run Fox News Channel. Indignity of having his or her name dragged through the mud in the interests of a company that's self-interested and unconcerned with the truth. Austin.
A former Fox News producer with an axe to grind against the Texas station for which he once worked shot himself to death outside the company's headquarters in Midtown Manhattan on Monday morning, police said. A suicide note and a gun were found with the body of Philip Perea, who suffered one bullet wound to the chest, the sources said. In the video Perea uploaded to YouTube months before his death, the station's general manager, identified only as Mike, talks to Perea about a recent complaint he filed against his superiors while telling him his co-workers feared him.
You know, we've been going through your file, looking at your rebuttal, and there's a couple of really concerning things. One, I think you need to know that the people that you work with, your co-workers, and there's several, they're starting to fear you. Uh-huh. They have concern about your behavior, your aggressiveness. I think some of your frustration. And I'm sure it's not your intention, but you're putting a lot of people at, you're making people uneasy. I guess that's about the best word that I can put it.
During the conversation on May 19th, 2014, the manager tells Perea he's going to have his file reviewed further. Perea posted a tweet Friday about being bullied. Once the people realize they don't have to suffer a bully, they will rise up, he tweeted, with the hashtag #TheAmericanWorkplaceBully. He posted his last tweet about an hour before shooting himself. The seventh and final chapter of #TheAmericanWorkplaceBully, he posted, using the hashtag #WeareWithPhil. The end or the beginning?
This kitty may have used up a few of them. This is an incredible story. Bart the cat is recuperating at the Humane Society tonight after being hit by a car. Pronounced dead and buried, but then he showed up at a neighbor's house. Incredible. Cynthia's here with more on what they're calling the miracle cat. For sure, Cynthia.
Yeah, and easy to see why, Kelly, when you hear Bart's story. Even the folks at the Humane Society are pretty amazed by this. That's what Bart's being treated for, a broken jaw and other injuries he suffered back on January 15th when he was hit by a car. Well, the neighbor who found him in the road says, yeah, he was in a pool of blood, not moving, already stiff. The Bart's owner buried him. Well, neither one could believe their eyes. 5 days later, when Bart showed up at Dusty Albright's store.
Came up looking for food. He was hungry. I knew there was something wrong because I knew this cat was buried 5 days earlier and he was underground. I took him to the owner and he opened the door and he was in complete shock because we knew this cat was dead. There's no logical explanation and we just say it's God's miracle.
Well, when Bart clawed his way out of the ground, nobody really knows. The best of the Humane Clinic say he'll likely lose an eye. Otherwise, though, they are expecting him to make a full recovery. Now, Bart's owner and the neighbor are thrilled to have him back. They say he's living proof that miracles really do happen. Bart?
That really is amazing. Well, we hope that...
Nine lives. This kitty may have used up a few of them. This is an incredible story. Bart the cat is recuperating at the Humane Society tonight after being hit by a car.
The owner, and he opened the door, and he was in complete shock because we knew this.
You are listening to Untamed Feline, written and produced by yours truly and Tawa Kwan. You're listening to CD29 on your iTunes, your Android, and your iOS. My name is JDR. Just to let you know, folks, we will be expanding our studio capabilities. So there's going to be a lot of crazy stuff going on later. Heavier music. We're still going to do the interview thing. Don't worry about it. We're still going to do it. I just have to hit the streets, and right now it's just too damn cold. Nobody wants to talk to me in the damn cold. And I don't feel like going out. I'm just a lazy bum. So I got to get that all together. But thank you for listening. Let me give my shout outs to the NYPD and the FDNY and to my brothers and sisters in the United States military who are not killers and psychopaths or cowards. Seth Rogen is a coward. He's nothing but a hairy fat punk. To meine Freunde in Deutschland, schöne Grüße. We're going to be back next week, kicking it again. Hope you are enjoying yourself. You know, I'm thinking of getting a third cat because Bogey and Ember need a referee. So I'm probably going to do that. All right. Gonna leave you with another tune or so, and that shall be out of here. Thank you.
anybody down?
New Hope City Council members ducked under the desk when they heard gunfire.
Somebody got shot.
Stay down.
Watch on the left side of the screen. One of the city council members draws his own weapon. Police say the city council wasn't the target. Police officers, fresh out of the academy, had just been sworn in inside the council chambers.
When the swearing-in ceremony was completed, the officers left the council chambers. At that point in time, an adult male engaged these officers with a handgun and began firing at them.
Other officers managed to return fire, killing the gunman. The two rookie police officers who were shot are expected to survive. Nobody inside the council chambers was hurt.
Get down, get down. Everybody get down.
That went right through the door.
I'm Andrew Spencer, reporting. City council members ducked under the desk when they heard gunfire.
Somebody got shot.
Stay down.
Watch on the left side of the screen. One of the city council members draws his own weapon. Police say the city council wasn't the target. Police officers, fresh out of the academy, had just been sworn in inside the council chambers.
When the swearing-in ceremony was completed, the officers left the council chambers. At that point in time, an adult male engaged these officers with a handgun and began firing at them.
Other officers managed to return fire, killing the gunman. The two rookie police officers who were shot are expected to survive.